I remember that there was one rabbi who came, and you know, my grandfather was, I'm pretty sure, 96 years old. I remember there was one rabbi who came to be Menachem Avel, and he said something that I always remember. That he said that, you know, even though he lived a very long life, it's still just as tragic that you lost him. And I think when you see this Baal HaTurim, that he cried less because she was old, it doesn't sit well necessarily, because just because someone was old and lived a long life, it doesn't mean that there should necessarily be less crying. So what is the Baal HaTurim really getting at? That Avram cried less because she was old. So that's a question I want to address as well. So before we attack those two questions, I want to just quote a Midrash Tanchuma, which really fills in the blanks in terms of the story, this whole storyline of Akedas Yitzchak and then Sarah's subsequent death. Because a question that you really could ask on a storyline level is, Avram goes to Shecht, his son, because God tells him to. Where was Sarah in this whole thing? Did Avram tell Sarah? Did Sarah have any inkling that this was happening? So there are different midrashim that give different approaches, but one midrash which I wanted to share in Source Dalid, so it says, this midrash Tanchuma, at the end of last week's Parsha Vayera, Amar Avram ma esa imagal l'Sara. How could I tell Sarah what Hashem just told me to do? There's no way I could tell Sarah that I'm about to kill her only child that she was davening for so many years. Our hopes and dreams are all in this child. There's no way I could tell Sarah. So what did Avram do? So ma'asa. So amar l'Sara. He said to Sarah, "Tichnali machal amishta v'nachal v'nismach. Sarah, could you make a nice party?" Amrlo, she said to him, "Ma hayom yomayim, ma tiva shosim chazu? Why are we celebrating?" So Amalahem, he says, "Zakenim kemosenu noalahem ben bezikunosam, that we are older and we had children at an older age. Kedei alachal v'lishtos v'lismach. So we should celebrate the fact that Hashem gave us this child." So Sarah then went and got the food ready, got the meal ready, and then if you just skip. To three lines up, towards the end of the line, it says, "Hashem gave us this child, v'hanar hazeh gadol v'lo nechanach." So this child is already old, and we haven't given him a proper chinuch. V'yesh makom echad rachuk mimenu ma'at. There's a place pretty far from here, shesham mechanchen esan arim. It's a place where we could train the lad. We could teach him the right ways. Ekachenu v'achanachenu sham. I'm going to take him there and teach him. So Amra lo, so she said to him, "Lech l'shalom, gezinta heit. Sounds great, Avraham. Go take our son and, you know, teach him the right ways." Miad v'yashkem Avram baboker. So Avram got up the next morning, took Yitzchak out. So clearly, according to this midrash, and this is how most of the Rishonim assume, Sarah didn't know that Avram was about to kill Yitzchak. Avram didn't have the heart to tell Sarah. Whether it's because Avram maybe believed it wasn't actually going to happen, whether it's because, like this midrash is implying, that Avram didn't want to break it to Sarah because maybe he thought she wouldn't be able to handle it for whatever reason. So Avram didn't tell Sarah that he was going to be nekad to shecht his son Yitzchak as a korban. So what's interesting is that Rashi at the beginning of our parsha has a very interesting story that he throws in here. And you probably have heard this before, but we'll read it inside. So in Source Hey, Rashi quotes the Midrash, L'spol l'sara v'lipkosa, v'nismacha misa sara l'akedas Yitzchak. So why does the death of Sarah, or Parshas Chayei Sarah, is coming off the heels of the end of last week's Parsha of Akedas Yitzchak? L'fisha yedei b'soras ha'akeda, sh'nizdamen b'na v'shchita v'chem'at sh'lo nishchat, Parcha nishmasa mimena umesa. That when Sarah found out that Avram almost shechted his son Yitzchak, her son Yitzchak, for a korban, parcha nishmasa. She couldn't handle it. However we understand parcha nishmasa, her soul left her, and she passed away. So Rashi is telling us, it's almost like a continuation from the first midrash, that Avram tried to hide it from her. And the good news was that Avram actually didn't have to kill Yitzchak. But when she found out what happened, that he almost did, Parcha Nishmasa, and she died. Tragic, of course. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that Rashi's basing this off of actually throws in something that Rashi didn't share. That it wasn't just that Sarah heard about what Avram almost did to Yitzchak. It actually tells us that it was Sama'el. So Sama'el is, we don't fully understand how the malachim work, how the angels work, but Sama'el represents the angel of death, the Satan, Malach HaMaves, kind of like, you know, interchangeable to some degree. So the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar and the Medrash Tanchuma also has it like this, that if you look at stories above, Kishaba Avram Ehar HaMaria, so this also answers our question, by the way, of, we asked, what does it mean, Vayavo Avram Lispo Lisara? Where was he coming from that he now was going to eulogize and cry for Sarah? So it's Vayavo, he's coming from the Akedas Yitzchak. Kishaba Avram Ehar HaMaria, from almost killing Yitzchak. So Chara Apo Shel Sama'el. So the Satan, this evil evil Malach, was upset. Sherol Shelo also biyado taivas libo levato korbano shel Avraham, because he was trying to stop Avraham from doing Akedas Yitzchak. He didn't want Avraham to get the zchus of listening to Hashem with this, you know, tremendous challenge. And, you know, there are famous midrashim you may remember from the Rosh Hashanah liturgy and from the Menhagim. One reason why we go to the water by Tashlich is because the Sama'el, the Satan, put a river before Avram Avinu to try to prevent him from going to Akedas Yitzchak. So the Sama'el was trying to stop Avraham, but since he was frustrated that he couldn't stop Avram from doing Akedas Yitzchak, Ma'asa, so now we're five lines down here, Halach va'amar l'Sara, he goes to Sarah, and he says, "Hey Sarah, lo shamata mashanasa ba'olam? Sarah, did you hear what happened?" Amar lo, Sarah said, "Lav, no, I didn't hear what happened." So Amar la, she said, the Sama'el said to her, "Lakach ishe chazakein, your old husband, lanar yitzchak v'kribil ola, your old husband, you know, your crazy demented husband," maybe just to add some more character to this, went to go shecht your son. V'hanar bocha miyalo shol yachali natzo, and he was crying that he couldn't escape. So he was playing up how terrible it was, how traumatic this was. Miyad hitchila bocha umiyaleles, so she began to cry. Uparcha nishmasa umesa, and she passed away. So what's interesting is that Rashi doesn't quote that it was Sama'el. He doesn't quote that it was the Satan. Rashi just told us that Akedas Yitzchak is next to Sarah's death because Sarah died when she found out what Avram almost did and how Yitzchak almost died. So now I want to try to pull things together, because it's noteworthy that it wasn't just that when Sarah heard what happened, she died. It was that Sama'el came, the Satan, however you want to define Sama'el, and tried to make her feel terrible about what happened. And that's when she actually died. So to put this in context, to try to wrap it into the questions we asked one question of why does it say Shnei Chayei Sarah? Why does it say that these were the years of Sarah? So the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slonim HaRebbe Zatzal, and the Emes Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, they both explain that when Sama'el, the Satan, which could also be represented of the Yetzirah, came to Sarah, it was exactly the Yetzirah. It was exactly Sama'el. It was the Malach HaMavas. It was evil. It was representing something that wasn't actually MS. It wasn't representing truth. And what Sama'el was trying to do was trying to make Sarah feel terrible about what happened, and also trying to make Avram feel terrible about what happened. Because you could imagine that after Avraham almost shechts Yitzchak, he's tremendously relieved. He's tremendously, perhaps, proud of himself to some degree that he was able to overcome even this test, even this Nisaron that Hashem gave him. He's on a high. And then he comes back and he finds out that his wife Sarah is now dead. And not only is she dead, but Sama'el, the Satan, is presenting it that it was your fault. That because you almost killed Yitzchak, Sarah couldn't handle it, and Sarah died because of what you did. So the way that the Nesiva Shalom and the Emes Liakov explain this whole Sama'el scene is that it's not that Sarah actually died because Parcha Nishmasa, because she couldn't handle the news that Sama'el, that the Satan was telling her. The Satan and Sama'el represents this dishonest, inaccurate representation of what really happened. But the truth is that Shnei Chayei Sarah, that these were the years of Sarah, this is what it was supposed to be. That the 127, this was her time to go. This was the time that Hashem said, it's time for Sarah to leave this world. But it wasn't because of the fact that Avraham almost killed Yitzchak. That was just Sama'al. That was the Satan trying to convince them that they did something wrong, and now to help make them feel guilty, make them feel regret for what had happened. So the Shnei Chayei Sarah is saying, no, these were the years of Sarah. These were the years of how old she was supposed to be when she died. It wasn't because of what Avram did. And says the Nesiv Shalom, that also explains the Baal HaTurim. Now, why does it say that Avram cried less because she was old? He cried less because he was crying for the normal reaction of grief, of losing his wife. But he wasn't going to allow Sama'al to make him cry. He wasn't going to allow the Yitzhara to make him cry, to make him feel like it was his fault. He knew what he did was right, even though it was so difficult to fathom why God would tell him to do something like this. But he was listening to God. Hashem told him to bring his son to Shechtim. And he wasn't crying for the fact that he maybe caused Sarah to die. He knew that it was Shnei Chayei Sarah. This was her time to go. It was not because of what he did. And the Nesiv HaShalom says so powerfully that we say in Maariv every night at the end of Berachos Kriyat Shema in Zohar Zayin, so the part that's bolded, that we're asking Hashem not just for Hagim Ba'adenu, that you protect us, but for Haser Satan Mofanenu Mayacharenu. You should remove the Satan from before us and from behind us. So the Nesiv HaShalom says it's a beautiful idea. What does it mean that we're asking Hashem to remove the Satan? Which again, here we're explaining loosely to mean the Yetzirah, to mean Sama'el, to mean this negative force, that Hashem should remove it from before us and from after us. So from before us, we could understand. It means that before we're about to do something good, so the Yetzirah comes and tries to tell us it's not worth it, the person's not going to appreciate it anyway, Hashem doesn't really care, right? So the Satan comes before us to try to prevent us from doing something good. But what's the Satan me'acharenu? When does the Satan come after the fact, after us? So says the Nesiv HaShalom, exactly this situation. The Satan comes to Avraham and to Sarah after the fact and tries to make them feel bad, to tries to make them regret what they just did. And that's another type of Yetzirah, not just to prevent us from doing good, but after we do something good, to then to try to make us feel bad and to make us feel regretful and guilty of doing that good thing. I'll never forget when I was in high school, there was one Thursday night that I was planning to do Tom Chai Shabbos to help pack boxes for Aniyim and Muncie. And a friend asked me to go to the Knick game with him. I was a big Knick fan, still am. And I was going back and forth. Should I go to the Knick game? Should I cancel Tom Chai Shabbos? And it's a very potent memory that I ended up, you know, going home and doing Tom Chai Shabbos, which I was, you know, happy at the time. And then when I got home, I watched the end of the Knick game, and it was like one of the best Knick games of the year. They won in overtime, and I felt so bad that I ended up missing the Knick game, even though I did this mitzvah of Tom Chai Shabbos. And I remember when I spoke to my Rebbe about it the next day, he quoted to me this idea, and he said that it's very important to recognize that there's also a Yetzihara after you do something good, that comes and tries to make you feel bad about it. Oh, because you did this mitzvah, you missed out on X, Y, or Z. Because you did this mitzvah, now you have less money for something else. Whatever it is, there's a Yetzirah after the fact that tries to make us regret and make us feel bad. But we have to recognize, like Avraham did, that it's really just the Yetzirah. And it's not something that we should necessarily take too seriously. And I just want to end by pointing out that this regret that, you know, as a psychologist is something that I talk to patients a lot about, it really could be very debilitating. And especially, you know, unfortunately, Nebuch, after a loss, which is the context, of course, of this narrative, it's totally normal to feel guilt. That's one of the natural reactions for any loss, whether it's a person or any other tragic loss. It's normal to feel regret and to feel guilty about what could have been, what I could have done differently. But often, after the healthy, you know, guilt process and regret, it's important to be able to recognize that it's only healthy to a certain degree. And regret could be something that could be debilitating. And when we look at the Torah's use of the word regret, the Torah doesn't use the word charata. Charata is the Hebrew word that we use colloquially for regret. But it actually uses the word vayinachem, the word that's the same word as nechama. So Rashi says in Sor Ches that the word nechama, vayinachem, like Hashem says in Parshas Noach, the first time the lashon of vayinachem is used, that Hashem, it says vayinachem ki asas adam ba'aretz. Hashem regretted that he created man, and that's why he brought the mabul. So Rashi at the end over here, he says the word nechama, kulam lashon machshava acheresheim, that the word nechama here, which in this context means to regret, it means to have a different way of thinking about something. So sometimes regret could be a way of thinking about something differently, because you're thinking, even though I originally thought it was something was a good idea, now I'm regretting it. So I'm thinking about something differently. And that's the context here that Rashi is quoting in terms of Hashem thinking differently about his decision, so to speak, to create man. But the lashon of nechama is also used for comfort. That's the word that we usually use the word nechama for. So I think on the positive side, comfort also comes from thinking about things differently. And even though at first we may think that, oh, we really messed up, how could we have done this, how could this have happened? But the nechama sometimes is thinking about it differently and being kinder to ourselves, thinking about it more positively, thinking about how maybe this is some, you know, silver lining here, or thinking about how maybe I'm zeroing on the negative instead of the positive. So nechama, comfort, and I'm not saying, you know, specifically about grief, but I'm saying more in general, comfort sometimes comes from being able to think about things differently. And just to end with the famous Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that nechama, that part of the process of doing tshuva and trying to change for the better, is to have that regret, to have that nechama. As he says in Hilchos Tshuva Beis, v'chein nisnachem al sha'avar, that part of the process of becoming better is to have some regret, is to think differently about maybe I should be a little bit different, maybe I can interact with that person differently, maybe I can interact with Hashem differently, I can do more mitzvahs, etc. So the regret is also the lashon nechama, because it's trying to think about things differently. How could I change? How could I think differently? How could I act differently? And I think the word nechama, I always found it fascinating, is used for regret, but also used for comfort, because it's really about trying to think about things differently. So just to wrap it up, the main message that I wanted to share is that Avram Avinu didn't give in to the Satan, to the Sama'a, to the Yitzhahara that was trying to make him feel bad about what happened. It wasn't his fault that Sarah died. This was Sarah's time to go, tragically, of course, but it was her time to go. But Avram didn't allow that Yitzhahara of the regret to bring him down. He was proud of what he did, and we should all be zocha to do many good deeds, which we all do, and to really try not to ever feel bad about good things that we're doing, to recognize that often it is the Yitzhahara that's trying to make us feel bad about the mitzvahs that we're doing. So thank you all for your attention, and everyone should have a great night. It should be a schus for a full shlema for all that we're davening for. You're welcome. Have a great night.